Welcome to the RV Navigator Podcast, your digital home for the RVing lifestyle. Visit RV Navigator homepage at rvnavigator.com for additional information about each episode. And now, here are your hosts, Ken and Martha, podcasting from their mobile studio that might be parked in a campground near you.
Hello, this is Ken, your RV navigator.
And Martha, the co-pilot. And we're talking to you from our home away from home studio in Titusville, Florida. And we're thinking about it's April Fool's Day.
Ooh, do we have any jokes to say?
So you will have to take everything that we say with a tablespoon of salt.
We always tell the truth. And
as best
we have been known
it.
To play a joke or two, but there will be no jokes in this podcast. Oh, well, at the end, there are some funny things, some funny comments from people.
We should mention before we wander off too far that this is episode 228 of the podcast, and I'm sitting here wondering if any of you are going to be heading off to see the eclipse.
Oh, that's
April
right.
8th. You could take a long weekend. I think it's on a Monday. It's covering a wide swath of our country. If we had planned to go home or be home or be on the way home, we would be right in the middle of it. But those of you who have been with us for years will remember the last time we tried to do that.
The fiasco.
And we drove with just the car, which was mistake number
one.
That
was a mistake, yeah.
To Southern Illinois, which is normally about a four-hour drive from our home.
Yeah.
Eclipse was wonderful, dramatic. We're glad we got to see it. A wonderful 2.5 minutes or whatever it was. And then we took about 12 hours to drive back to Illinois.
Because of the traffic.
To Northern Illinois, where we live, because everybody and his brother was down there in Southern Illinois watching the eclipse, and we all left at the same time.
So the bottom line here is we should have taken the motorhome and stayed for a couple of days and waited for all of the traffic to abate so that we could drive home in peace. But we chose to take just the car because we thought that the campgrounds... But the thing is that you could park anywhere and see the eclipse.
We were in one of those sad malls that has closed all over our country with a huge empty parking lot.
Right, exactly.
We could have easily stayed there. So hopefully, if you are planning to see the eclipse, you've made better plans than we did and are going to enjoy this dramatic, possibly once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Well, twice in our lifetime the last few years.
No, we're not going to see it again.
Well, we could easily. Well, ours here in Florida is about 50%.
Yeah.
So I don't, from our experience, I don't even think we'll notice it.
No.
But we do have glasses.
We got them free from somebody. We love free.
And do they have the seal of approval on them? Well, we'll have to see.
So before we get too far along in this month, we need to say a few things about last month. We found it somewhat challenging to not do the podcast, but put it on the internet and put on the webpage that goes with our podcast so that you can check the links. And
our travel schedule just doesn't match the podcast uploading system.
Maybe we should be a little less rigid in our approach to when we put it up. I listen to podcasts that come up whenever people are ready to put them up.
But I feel an obligation to our listeners. They expect a new podcast every month on the first of the month.
Perfection.
And believe me, I certainly try to do that.
He really does.
And I want to say that it is helpful when you send me an email or something that says that you can't get it. Because there are technical issues which I make mistakes, and then there are technical issues which are not in my control. But I always like to know about the issues.
And we often don't know right away.
This is a one-man band, so all of the technical side is handled by me, and I sometimes I don't know when I make a mistake, so... And I don't know how the downloading is going.
We uploaded the podcast and the website last month while we were at sea, which adds special wrinkles to the process.
Well, to upload the podcast, I usually use a system that's based on FTP, File Transfer Protocol. So I use a special program to upload it to our server. Interestingly enough, I have no idea where that server is, but I upload it to the server, and then there's a small file called an XML file, which is a text file which goes along with it, and Apple, or who the aggregator for the podcasts, reads that and says, oh, there's a new file there, and here's where you go to get it. So we are in charge of uploading and taking care of the downloads. So when you click on it, it just goes to our server and says, give me the latest episode. And FTP is sometimes problematic. And even though our ship had Starlink...
Wonderful Wi-Fi.
We were very impressed, more impressed with the Wi-Fi Starlink on this cruise ship than we've ever been. And it was fast, so I thought, oh, this is going to be a no-brainer. However, this system would not allow FTP. So I had to find an alternative system to upload the file, the podcast. Because the podcast is a single file that I can upload, I was able to find an alternative system. However, when it comes to the web page for last month, when I tried to FTP that, which has a couple of hundred files, I just couldn't do it. So, dear listener, last month's web page was very slow in being uploaded. Not slow, it was just delayed, shall I say.
It wouldn't work right away.
It wouldn't.
And I should also add, for those of you who follow my trip blog, which was especially interesting this month, if I do say so myself, because Ooh. The Amazon in Brazil was very interesting.
Unsolicited plug.
I worked on it for 2 weeks without difficulty, and then all of a sudden I couldn't upload pictures properly. It seemed to be part of the same problem, but we were not sure.
Yeah, we contacted the IT people on the ship, and they were not very helpful. And we tried to do it on shore, too, but I couldn't upload it there, too, because somehow they blocked FTP. So it was a frustrating month, and I'm quite afraid of April 1st. Not that it'll be a joke, but
it'll be
once again we will be on a cruise ship, and so whether
who
this
planned this?
That's a good question. How does this work? Anyway, we do apologize for any problems that you had in uploading or viewing the web page, and we're working our best to make this a smooth and seamless process for all of our listeners. We do appreciate you listening, and we try our damnedest to make sure that everything is working, but your input is always helpful, and we will continue to do our best to put it up.
And in my case, in my usual untechie way, I've had this VPN software on my laptop that Ken gave me, and I never was quite sure how it worked or why I had it. Virtual private network.
Whoa! Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen?
I'm good at talking the talk. I'm not good at walking the walk.
Stunning.
So it should have occurred to me sooner to turn that on and see if that would solve my uploading pictures problem, and it did.
Yeah.
So we had a suspicion that the ship did something mid-cruise that was what did me but not you.
Using a VPN is a way to maintain your security, and that's one of the reasons why we have it, so that when you do banking or other secure things on the web, you don't want anybody in between you and the server to be able to intercept the traffic. With that said, you have to understand that what a VPN does is provides a tunnel through any sort of security stuff through the internet to the server that is hosting the VPN. And so really what happened, and this is, I hadn't really expected this, is this tunnel circumvented the FTP process.
Which we should say is not a Starlink issue. It
no.
was some sort of security
You're
stuff
on the ship.
That the ship
right,
had
exactly,
put on.
Exactly. So I was using the VPN. I could then do FTP with the VPN tunnel. So that was interesting. So that's another use of a VPN and a reason why you might want to get a VPN. And as I've mentioned in the past, never get a free VPN because somebody has to be earning money. So we have a subscription to iVPN. It has worked well for us. It works on all of our devices. And anytime we need She says it doesn't work well on all of our devices.
It works on one of my devices.
Works on one of her devices, but it actually will work on all of them. But
so I hear.
Yeah. Well, that's a plug for VPNs.
And another thing, you probably already knew this, Ken, that was news to me, is that if you go to our webpage because you want to review something we said or get a website off of it, you can get a lot of the information that we say in writing. Because
haven't you
Apple
always wanted,
makes a transcript of every word.
Haven't you ever wanted to read what we say on a as a transcript? On the,
I have to say, even though I'm a real podcast fan, I learn better by reading than by listening. Uh-huh. And so if I was really serious about following every tricky detail of what we talk about, I would find a transcript helpful.
This is unbelievable. That, and this has nothing to do with the RV Navigator, but the fact that you can actually translate, have any podcast given to you in printed form on the Apple website. So by using the new transcript feature built into iOS 17.4, which is now available, Apple has added audio transcripts to podcasts for iPhone, meaning that you could now read along to your favorite podcasts as they are spoken.
Now, if I have an Android phone, I can't avail myself of this? Is that the case?
That's the case.
Which is why Apple's getting sued about being a bully. All right, that's another topic.
In iOS 17.4, Apple has added support for auto-generated transcripts in its podcast app, offering users another way to enjoy podcast content rather than simply listening to what is being said.
Could also be helpful to the hard of hearing.
I suppose. Uh-huh. And I think, dear listener, if this sounds kind of weird, but if you are searching for something in the RV Navigator, you know, you can do a word search on the transcript to find out what we said. You know, if you're looking for a link or something.
Some gizmo we talked
about. Yeah, you could always just do the translate out of the podcast app and get the information that you're seeking. Because it's hard to do searches. I try to put up as many in the website. I try to put up as many keywords as I can, but you know, I don't pretend to be able to do all the keywords. So this might be a useful feature.
What did we say last month?
What did we say last month? We were just having this big discussion about that this morning. Oh, was that an April 1st joke, or was it just...
No, it was sadly reality. We also want to remind you that Ken has continued to put new calendar pictures on the website month. They are our real pictures. They are of places we have been. They are of good memories for us, and we hope that they will make a nice wallpaper screensaver thingy for your devices if you download
them. So you go to the RVNavigator.com, and at the top I have a calendar click. And the link up there will take you to the calendar page, and every month I make a nice calendar containing one of my prized pictures. And this month is a nice picture taken here at one of our nature preserves of, I don't know, is it an egret? Here I go. I don't know the names of the birds. But anyway, it's a nice bird flying away from a flock of birds. And next month, this one is almost unbelievable when you look at it.
But you took it.
But I took it. It's a school of fish that we swam into on our Amazon adventure, and the density of the fish is just unbelievable.
It was like
but
a fantasy.
If you take a look at that picture and say, that's not real, it is real. The only thing I've really done to it is fix the color balance so that it didn't look like it was in the water. But the number of fish in the school, I didn't do anything to change that. And I try to make pictures that are not very busy so that on your desktop you can see the things that are on your desktop.
And sometimes I really cannot.
However,
I must say, as a calendar user.
However, this time the picture is very busy because it's filled with fish, but it's kind of like a pattern. So I'm
hopefully
justifying it from that point of view.
You can still find your documents, your files. They're on your desktop somewhere.
Oh, boy. We left you last month before
as
we got to the Amazon.
As the cruise was about to begin, yeah.
Isn't that where we left them last
we
month?
We think so. Oh,
dear listener, please send us a message about where we left you last month. But you were waiting excitedly to hear about our trip in the Amazon, and we had a great time. We spent about a full week doing the transit of the Amazon, first sailing into the west and then sailing back out to the east and stopping at different places along the way as the so that we have different places to see and the in and out.
For those of you who are Texans and love to brag about Texas, cannot hold a candle to Brazil or the Amazon Basin. I did not really appreciate how big the country of Brazil is. It took us almost a week to sail up the coast from Rio into the Amazon, stopping at one beautiful beach after another. Florida could be jealous of the wonderful sandy beaches that Brazil has. And then we came to understand that the Amazon Basin, just the river and its tributaries, is twice the size of the state of Texas. It was overwhelmingly large. The river was huge. It's 200 miles wide where you first come in. The intensity of the water flowing out goes way into the Atlantic.
Yes.
Early explorers who were sailing by and were putting their fingers in the water suddenly realized that there was fresh water in the middle of the ocean because it was the Amazon River that was pouring in. It's just astronomically large. You cannot do justice to it even if you spend the rest of your life there. But we really got a good impression of how people live along the river and what life is like there. The word jungle is kind of misleading.
Yes.
We didn't get a single mosquito bite the whole time we were there.
No
we
bugs.
Saw very few animals or snakes or creepy things that would scare you, but we were not deep into the forest.
So the trip, as we said, takes about a week the way we did it, and we were lucky to have Zodiacs on our boat, because the Zodiacs and an exploration team of scientists that were along with us that would that drive the boats. So we had six Zodiacs, and we were able to then take the Zodiacs, and a Zodiac is an inflatable boat that they launch from your cruise ship that takes about 12 to 15 passengers.
Depending on the size.
And you sit on the pontoon, and it's run by an outboard motor. And then that allows you in a small group to go exploring on the edges of the Amazon. And we did several of those trips, not going up tributaries exactly, but going up inlets.
And the first one we did, we were in a little town, I would say. A little bit of civilization was where we put the anchor down. And we jumped in the Zodiac, and we traveled maybe less than 10 minutes, and the naturalist said, "Oh my God, I'm seeing spouting on the horizon." And what she was noticing was one of the things the Amazon is very famous for, and that's the pink dolphin. And we are talking Barbie pink. They are incredible looking creatures, quite different from the gray ones that we're used to from flipper movies. They have a very long, slender, almost bird-like snout because they live in very shallow water, and they poke that snout in between seagrass looking for creatures that they want to eat. The snout is full of teeth. And then overhead, they have a giant protuberance, which is where all their echo
sonar,
their brain for their echolocation devices is stored, because the water is quite murky where they travel. And what makes them really difficult to photograph from my perspective is they do not have that dorsal fin that pokes up and warns you that there is a dolphin in the area. The naturalist was far more skilled than we were and could see the spray from its breath, but we found it very challenging to take a picture. In fact, on my blog, I stole one from Google, which I hardly ever do, because they were such magnificent creatures, but very difficult for us to capture. So right away, we started seeing what the Amazon had to offer.
And of course, we always think of the dolphin as being a saltwater, and these were all freshwater animals, and their habitat is in shallow water. So we did several of these little tributary drives in the Zodiac. I'm laughing because I don't have any pictures of a pink dolphin.
No, it was hard to capture them.
Because we would be in one of these little tributaries and
there it was, and it was gone.
And we would, you could see it when you glanced over, but didn't have time to take a picture. But they were in water that was less than 10 feet deep, and because they were feeding on the vegetation and the shallow water life. Which is very interesting because that's not where you see dolphins, where you think of seeing dolphins.
The gray ones that we're used to. And we were also quite surprised that many of the big water birds that we noticed were exactly the same big water birds that we enjoy here in Florida. They were really the same species, having the same look. That was a surprise to me.
So I didn't need to take all those pictures because I could just take them right. Well, the picture of on this month's calendar, that ibis there, is the same bird that we saw
down there.
And that picture could have been taken in the Amazon, but it wasn't. It was taken in Florida.
Another very amazing natural thing is that we did not understand that the Amazon, because it is not one river, has many different qualities depending where you are as you're sailing along. The Amazon itself is very full of silt. It's not pollution. It's just suspended earth
matter.
So it's
chocolatey colored.
So you're cruising along on chocolate milk, and all of a sudden you come to blackness, the Rio Negro, which is the water where Manaus is, which is the biggest
city
in the Amazon.
Or any other tributary.
And the pH of the water is very different between the Amazon and the Rio Negro. The color is different. The temperature is different. And often these rivers will flow alongside each other like two lanes on a highway for a while before the waters actually mix. And there are other tributaries that have other characteristics and other kinds of pH and temperature. We didn't see them all. But the phenomenon of being in water that had such different qualities so close together was mind-boggling.
You hear about this before, but I always thought that it was kind of, well, the two rivers come together and there's some swirling motion and they mix, and whichever river is bigger is the dominant river. But in fact, it's much more delineated than that. The rivers actually flow, it's hard to believe, side by side for quite a while before the waters mix. And we went in a small boat out to see the mixing point, and it's very distinctive. I mean, you can see it, you can feel it. Now that's, how do I do that? Well, I put my hand in one in the Amazon, and I put my hand in the other one. Because they were just inches apart, I could feel a temperature difference. The water had a different feel to it. It was just very interesting to make that comparison and see these two rivers flowing side by side but not mixing because of the pH and the temperature of the waters. It took it a while for the two of them to meld together, which fascinating. And one of the distinctive features of the Amazon, but you don't really think about it until you get there.
I also want to talk a little bit about transportation in this region. When we were kids, Rio was still the capital of Brazil, and they wanted very much to develop the interior of the country because the coastline is just a slender piece of land on the coast. And so they built this giant capital city, which we have not seen, and wanted to build roads from it to the rest of the country, which makes sense. So they started laying highways, great guns, and as soon as they got into the Amazon area, which is a large part of Brazil, they ran into huge problems because the land is not very solid. Depending on the time of year, it floods, so you can make a nice highway, but by the time you come back a year later, it's all washed away, or it's so full of potholes that you can't drive on it anymore. So again, when we were in Manaus, the largest city in the Amazon, we saw a huge bridge that was built during this time, but it was kind of a bridge
to
nowhere.
In anticipation of great land traffic with trucks and cars, but it just didn't happen.
So the only way you can drive on a highway out of the Amazon is to go north to Venezuela. You really cannot access the rest of the country easily by car, truck, the kind of transportation we're used to using in our country. But what you do use is the river. It makes a lot of sense. So there are huge steamers, tramp steamers, that travel like a Greyhound bus up and down the river. And because people are not particularly affluent there, you don't usually rent a cabin. It would not be air conditioned and it would be hot and steamy. When you travel on these boats, you bring a hammock with you. And when you look up in the ceiling of the deck of the you are on, you see a lot of hooks, and you hang your hammock off these hooks, and that's your bed for the evening. and people bring food on board. Sometimes they can buy food while they're traveling.
And these trips can be 2 or 3 days, so it's not short.
Because everything is so vast there.
It's not like just going to work type of transportation. But if you want to go from Manaus to another city, it can take 2 or 3 days down the river.
And we heard that last year, you know, climate change is affecting everybody, and there was a huge drought, and we were a little bit worried about it. We didn't quite understand where we were in the rain cycle. Many of the communities that use these boats to get in and out and buy food and whatever else they need were suddenly stranded because there was no water level to sustain these boats, and they couldn't get out.
It's interesting that we were there in the rainy season, which is about now, March-ish, and we did not find it to be particularly rainy this year anyway.
Where we were.
But the water level was up to a reasonable level, although they said it was down quite a lot from normal. To us, it seemed quite normal. We were able to land at the docks and do all the things, these Zodiac tours and things like that. That was not a problem. So my recommendation is that you go to the Amazon in the rainy season. In fact, in the entire time we were gone, I used my raincoat exactly once, and even that was iffy.
But when I'm thinking about rain, I'm thinking about an afternoon when we were on board and this giant thunderstorm, maybe taking half an hour, let loose, and when it was done, the sun was still out, so what do you see? A giant rainbow, and you can see both ends of it, which is so rarely done in our country. And at that moment, we happened to be at one of those merging points where beneath us was the chocolate water of the Amazon and clear dark water of another tributary. We looked up in the sky, which was cleaved into two by this rainbow, which changed the color of the blue sky, so they were different shades. The pictures I took of this look like they're fake.
Yeah, it does.
An awesome experience. So, rainy season had some blessings, that's for sure.
Yes, we did enjoy that aspect of it. So, our ship was a small ship, which we could recommend. Holland and many other companies do large ship excursions up into the Amazon. But at this particular time, we liked having the Zodiacs on board because we could do exploring into areas that would otherwise be inaccessible. And we enjoyed having this small ship experience, less than 500 passengers. There are some advantages to this. The crew ratio to passengers is now about 1.3 to 1. So,
which makes a difference.
How the service goes.
People give you a level of service if they have time to do it.
Yeah. This ship was all inclusive, which meant we didn't have to pay for drinks or for gratuities. And of course, that makes the fare more expensive. But we've been doing a few calculations, and these days with gratuities coming close to $20 a day per person, and if you want to have some even sodas or coffee, and you know, if you're not an alcoholic drinker, that it adds up if you want to buy just ordinary drinks.
And regular Wi-Fi was included too.
And regular Wi-Fi was included. So if you are looking at the high prices of some of these smaller ships, you might want to add up all the things that you're getting, that you're having to pay for on the bigger ships, because we are about to go on
the Independence of the Seas. A big 5-day cruise with a cabin with no balcony, no window.
No window, no inside.
We're going over the Easter holiday with 1,600 young children, from what we hear. Why are we doing this?
Because we were invited by the family. There are 22, 11 cabins being occupied by our group. And we were invited by the family to join the, and it may be economic on their part. They booked the cabins and they needed another couple.
We had no control over any decisions made. We were delighted to be invited. These are family members that live in the Carolinas, so we don't get to see them nearly often enough, and we're thrilled to be going. But it's going to be such a huge contrast between the luxurious cruise that we just had, with mostly old people, I must say.
No kids at all. Nobody under 18 allowed.
Right. And so we may have some remarks to make.
And we had a cabin that had 300 square feet, and the Independence of the Seas one is 150 square feet. And we have had a nice balcony there. And we could have all sorts of caviar on the balcony, and it was very luxurious. But it didn't have anybody we knew. So here we are.
That was just the two of us for the most part.
So that's the reason why this month will be a tough one for the podcast again, because we will be on the cruise ship. Fortunately, this is only 5 days, so if things go awry with the internet,
they won't be awry for long.
We'll be back here in Titusville before we know it. We're driving to Miami to pick up this ship, so that's another exciting adventure.
Another thing I wanted to say, when we were thinking about the different kinds of cruises there are and finances and how to make it work for yourself, when we were younger and had far less spendable income than we do now.
Yes.
It made more sense to me not to have an all-inclusive cruise, in that you could pay for the cruise itself while you hadn't begun it yet. Then while you were on the cruise, you would rack up a bill of gratuities and stuff that you could charge after and pay for that after you got off. You could control when you booked the shore excursions and how you paid for those in terms of your own personal billing cycle.
Yes.
So at that point in our lives, I think breaking it into pieces made more sense to me.
The cruise ships didn't nickel and dime you like they are now. I mean, there was no internet.
It's like a la carte flying.
Yeah.
You know, you used to just buy a plane ticket, and that was all you needed to think about. But now you have to think about, is your suitcase too heavy? Do I want to choose my seat? How much is my carry-on going to weigh? A lot more factors to consider in terms of the price.
And gratuities were very when we first started, gratuities were done in cash, put it in the person's hand.
Right.
They didn't have it as billing on your credit card.
And the other one I remember, when we first started cruising, they would have exercise classes as they do now.
Yeah.
And they would be free, and they would bribe you to come.
If you
came often enough, they would give you a free T-shirt at the end. And now you have to pay for those as well. So that makes a difference in terms of approach.
You have some choices in terms of ships that you can take. Obviously, the big ships have tons of activities and lots of things for the kids to do, slides and flow riders and all sorts of things that probably we weren't. This one even has a exploration room.
I don't know, virtual reality room.
Virtual reality, and it has a...
With a trampoline. I don't quite understand. Depending on... You put the headset on, and then we'll know more about it next month. And then depending on where you jump and how you jump, you get different experiences.
And that's the specialty of big ships. We're going to a Broadway theater production.
And it'll keep the kids busy, and they'll be happy. That's great.
And then you have the smaller ships like Holland, which are adult-oriented, and, you know, they're about 2,000 passengers with decent entertainment, a wide variety of cabins. And then you have the ship like we were on just now, the Seabourn Quest, which is all suites, no inside cabins. All the cabins are virtually the same except for a few premium ones at the top. And it was all-inclusive, so we didn't have any gratuities.
Even the laundromat was free.
Even
and if you were in a suite, you got, of course, laundry for free. But I liked having, you know, you get hot and sweaty when you're in the Amazon, and you could just keep yourself clean-smelling throughout the entire trip very easily.
And it had the Zodiacs, which were a big benefit for this type of trip.
The other thing I think about when I look at the ratio is that we complain at times, especially me, about not being as frisky as I used to be, and I certainly was friskier than a lot more of my fellow passengers who came with a variety of canes and scooters and wheelchairs and were able to enjoy the ship as well, a lot more than I even expected that they would, because there was a high ratio of crew to passengers, and they could just help you if you needed help.
Well, plus the ship is much smaller, so there's the places to go are much closer to your cabin.
But there were people who couldn't carry a tray through the buffet because they were leaning on something, and there was a crew member there to help them fill up their plate and get to the table. And I keep watching them and wondering myself, is this a way that I want to continue cruising even when I become more enfeebled? And I guess I'm coming to the answer, yes.
Yes.
I mean, I hate being in a line and slowing down the people behind me, and that did happen at times. That still bugs me. It does. Just because you're old and feeble doesn't mean you have to stop cruising. You just have to choose a line that is set up to assist you with whatever you need.
The old people's line. Maybe
right.
There'll be one.
Right. Just like the cruise ship we're about to take is going to have a huge children's department and have a lot of fun and games and things that they will need to keep them busy and have a happy time.
And this cruise at the high peak of the season is not cheap, really, either. So
not a bargain.
Another choice you have are expedition ships.
And those are particularly designed for adventurous areas. Antarctica comes to mind, of
course.
They're
ice-hardened frequently.
Alaska, maybe. The parts of the world that are a little less accessible.
And usually they're less than 250 passengers. They have no entertainment, and they'll have an expedition team on board, which are scientists, experts, who will give lectures and things about the ecology and the area that you're visiting.
So there'll be a low emphasis on the casino or entertainment at night, if they have any at all. It's learning and doing in more adventurous parts of the world.
That small ship cruising to the max, I would say. And
pretty,
they're very
pricey.
Very expensive.
Right.
Another one that I think a lot of us older adults haven't really considered, and something that's kind of new in the market, is the ship and within a ship concept. Many of the big ships have cordoned off areas where premium passengers have
premium experience.
MSC is one of the major ones. Their ships are actually designed with this in mind. They have their own specialty restaurant. You have a key card which allows you access to certain elevators which take you to these floors. They have their own pool.
Might have a different dining room.
And of course, you do pay for this, but you have the advantage of having a big ship because you can go to the entertainment that is available to everyone. And then there is the smaller, low-key aspect of
quieter.
Right. It's MSC and Celebrity are pretty famous for these. Other ships have something similar, but they're not quite as isolated.
Partitioned
as are these two. So you might want to take a look at one of those as an option if you're looking at
it. It kind of offends my egalitarian spirit, but I think I'll have to try it sometime.
Well, of course, the transatlantic ships have had first and second and third class passengers, as you remember from
the Titanic.
But this is not quite segregated, but it is definitely a different experience when you're in the ship within a ship. So you have some options when you want to consider a more upscale cruising experience.
So are we ready to talk about RVing again?
RVing? What's that?
You're sitting in one.
I'm sitting in one, yep.
And I'm happy to report that after a month away, all systems are go. Everything is working properly. Now that our rig is over 10 years old, I think about those things a little more. But everything is in ship-shop shape.
Ship-shape shop.
Because you take such good care of it.
Last month, I talked about the experience. And some of you, I actually had some comments on the from email on this, that our car surprised me when I started getting emails saying about when I needed our new car, a oil change, and it was telling me my tire pressures were not good. And
spying on us.
I
hate that.
And just as a quick follow-up, I'm not going to really spend a lot of time on this, but there was a very interesting article in the New York Times, which, of course, you'll find a link to on our website for this month at rvnavigator.com. And this month is episode 228 for April of 2024. And just as a quote, there was a consumer who found that his insurance rates had gone up dramatically, and he decided to do some research as to why. And he found out after doing
he ordered a LexisNexis report that he was eligible for under the consumer disclosure report.
And he got back a 258-page listing of his activities in his car,
as well as his wife's.
What it contains stunned him. More than 130 pages detailing each time he or his wife had driven their car over the previous 6 months. It included the dates of 640 trips, their start and end times, the distance driven, and an accounting of any speeding, hard braking, or sharp accelerations. The only thing it didn't have was where they had driven the car.
So how they drove affected their insurance rates.
Apparently.
Ooh, we better be good.
That's
dismaying.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm RVing, I love to visit a national park. To me, national parks are a precious resource. I'm very proud of our country for starting the concept of having a national park. Obviously, some of them are better than others because some parts of our country have more interesting natural features than others. Some are historically significant. I'm probably not telling you anything that you don't already know. And when we go places, not necessarily national parks, we often try to research these places to see if they're worth our time, if other people have enjoyed them, if they're worth doing. And so I was surprised to see an article in the Washington Post, which was a collection of people's Yelp reviews of the national parks, which were notable for their lack of enchantment.
Well, and the fact that they rated national parks one star rather than the usual five stars that you would give these special places in our community.
Overall, their reaction was not worth the hype. And so this article lists various national parks, certainly not all of them. Yosemite is described as a real dud, a real Wally World, as we had to turn around.
And this one, Yellowstone, smells like rotten eggs. Everywhere you go, there's this lingering smell of rotten eggs. You'd think that for a $35 entrance fee, the park people could install some air wicks or something. That's why you go to Yellowstone.
The Grand Canyon, too big.
No plants, no life. It's like a picture of death.
Also, my wife decided to divorce me while we were there. Maybe that had something to do with it.
And Death Valley, a giant litter box. Not a fan of finding nothing in the middle of nowhere. It's like visiting a giant litter box. Such a long, lonely drive. And when you get there, it looks as dead as the surface of the moon. Which is exactly why you go there. But hey, you come to all that way to say you stood under sea level. Woo-hoo.
The Grand Teton National Park. The mountains obscure the views.
The mountains obscure the view. Oh, my.
Big Bend had unfriendly lizards. It was indeed big, but also hot. They should call it Hot Big Bend. One star.
How do you go to these places, and what are your expectations? I guess they've been to Disney.
Uh-huh. Where everything is perfect all the time. And scheduled. Yeah, yeah. If you are a national park aficionado, as I am, go to the article and read the whole thing. We've just touched on some of the...
there must be more.
...meaningful comments. You want me to read a few more?
Sure.
The Badlands were full of old brown mud. It's basically washed out hills of 50,000-year-old mud. And the mud wasn't even differently colored layers. It didn't have any redeeming qualities. It was brown. The Everglades. Once you've seen a few trees and a lot of grass, it's all the same. Saguaro National Park. A waste of time. I can't believe we wasted time going on this loop. We are literally still on it, and there's nothing interesting, so we're on our phones.
They could get their phone to work. Oh, why do these people... What are their expectations?
The Petrified Forest. A huge nothing burger.
They expected trees?
They should pay you to enter the park.
Oh, my.
The White Sands National Park. Too much sand. It was too sandy, and they gave me a ticket for going 30 in a 10-mile-per-hour zone. Pathetic.
Oh, boy.
They should have made a water park out of it. And so on.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we have to leave it there.
These are not April Fool's jokes. They are real people's real comments.
We have a cruise to go on, and next month you'll probably hear us making jokes about that cruise. We are looking forward to this, but there is some trepidation in our anticipation. And we hope that you enjoyed this podcast. We hope that you will send us an email and let us know what you think.
Next month we expect to be in the RV again, working our way toward home, right?
In April.
Yeah. Might be at a campsite near you.
We're headed to Gulf Shores after the cruise.
I was surprised you agreed to do this. What a nice guy.
Family ties are important. So we will be in Gulf Shores State Park, a favorite of ours.
We feel very lucky to be able to be there. It's very popular.
So if you are in that vicinity, let us know, and we will make the contact. Otherwise, we will see you next month on the road.
Happy travels. Stay healthy. Thanks for listening.